You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, episode 41.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Omnisend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands and marketers that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Google and Facebook. So it's much more than just email marketing. They handle all of your marketing activities across multiple channels, all from within one platform. They have single-click Shopify integration, which also includes email templates and automatic product import from Shopify. Super easy migration from any other email solution that you might be currently using. And right now, Omnisend is offering a 14-day free trial for all of my listeners, which also includes 50% off for the first 3 months. So check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/Omnisend, and use the coupon code Fastlane when you sign up. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving online with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, new episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Or you can also sign up now online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when new shows are being released. Now, today I'm chatting with Kyle Wong, who is the CEO and co-founder of a brand called Pixly. Now, you may or may not have heard of them, but you know, he's going to talk about user-generated content. We're going to discuss things about influencer marketing and, you know, new strategies for reaching your audience at the critical conversion points. And it's incredibly important. It's very timely because that's topics I know come up quite a bit with my merchants about how do I drive new visitors to my website? How do I get improved conversion rate? Trust is really important a topic. So that's what we're going to learn today. These kind of strategies, I think, to differentiate your brand compared to others in the market. So really with the long-term goal of just helping you grow and scale. So let's jump into the show. So hi, Kyle. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
This sort of topic of user-generated content is definitely on a lot of people's minds because they too are shoppers, my merchants and brands that I work with, and they know how important it is because they're actually a shopper too, and they look at these sorts of things as part of their decision-making process. So that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because I think it's very, very timely as this sort of market is expanding. Let's talk about maybe on a high level for those that don't know what Pixly does. Can you talk about kind of what problem that you're solving for Shopify brands?
Yeah, absolutely. So at Pixly, we build software to help brands scalably use customer stories in their marketing. And our core belief is that customer stories are the best way to showcase the value of any product or any service. And when it comes to the problem that this solves for brands and the value prop we provide, it's a combination of one, increased sales, two, decreased content costs, and three, engaging with your most passionate customers. At the end of the day, a lot of the brands, especially emerging brands, their business is built off of social proof and advocacy. And what we do is we provide the software to allow brands to use their happy customers to grow their business.
Yeah, I love that. I know that's, you know, like I said at the top of the show, increasing sales. There's a lot of people who have significant amount of traffic coming to their website, but they're worried about, you know, what can I do to improve my conversion rate? And that's definitely number one on a lot of people's radars. Interesting comment about the decreasing content cost, because, you know, when you think about SEO value and you think about, you know, producing kind of epic pieces of content, when people actually come to the website now, you're having a lot of customers generate and create content that then's published on a brand's website that really adds this kind of social proof to, I guess, to really improve the conversion rate overall.
Yeah, 100%. So Not only obviously does this help increase conversion because you're seeing how real customers are using the product, but when it comes to just the content demands it takes to have a great D2C website today, a lot of brands struggle with keeping up with that content demand. And part of it is because the diversity of content that you need to attract different customers is going to be very different. And with that said, everyone here on this call probably understands the cost center associated with professional photo shoots or in creative. But on the other hand, now that every consumer is kind of like a media company with their great smartphone photo taking technology, there's a lot of potential in leveraging that creativity. And I personally believe that when you get to tap into some of that creativity from your customer base, it's ultimately a lot more effective because your customers sometimes tell your brand story in a much more authentic and genuine way than your marketing team.
Well, I can see that, you know, I think that's all part of that trust factor. You know, we don't want, sometimes all these polished photos aren't necessarily telling the true story and real application. And can you see yourself actually with this product? But when other people have kind of made the decision to buy the product, are liking it, and they're liking it so much that they're willing to photograph or video themselves using the product, that then in turn goes on the product page or landing pages or through ads and things that we'll learn soon. Like, that's pretty exciting technology to be able to have that opportunity to be able to do that.
You know, you have it down 100%. And if I can kind of simplify the problem in maybe three areas. One is creating content is pretty expensive and it takes a lot of time. The second is then when you want to put the content in the right place, that itself is a very manual process. And especially when you have multiple channels and customer touch points. And the third is as your expense for paid acquisition keeps on getting more and more expensive, how do you kind of reallocate some of that budget into what I call recurring marketing streams? And if you think about word of mouth marketing, no one ever has complained about having too much positive word of mouth marketing.
Right.
You know, I met a customer that said, we have too much positive word of mouth marketing. Please make it stop. The real question that people have is, now that I have this positive word of mouth marketing and people are posting about our brand or they're emailing in, what do I do with it? And how do I make, one, take advantage of this? And two, how do I encourage people to share more?
Well, I have the answer. The answer is use Pixly. You know,
more importantly, probably to build a great product. And then after that, you know, we definitely can help.
So tell me a bit about you, you know, and your journey. I mean, obviously there, it sounds like you're very, very passionate towards this kind of user-generated content field, and you understand the whole buyer's journey and the benefits of this. Obviously you've built a, you know, a software product to solve this problem, but let's talk about your kind of personal entrepreneurial journey and kind of why you decided to launch Pixly.
Yeah, absolutely. So part of it was, being lucky and being in the right place at the right time. And part of it was just solving a problem that we as kind of millennials really felt. Back in high school, my co-founder and I, we worked on a few companies together that were directly related to this space. And like a lot of other great Silicon Valley stories, Pixly was founded right out of my Stanford dorm room. And when we started the company, Instagram just came out with an Android app. And I think the iPhone 4 was the best camera out there. Mm-hmm. And obviously the improvements in photo taking quality and the amount of photo sharing kind of increased exponentially since then. But at the core principle of Pixly, we as shoppers understood the value of social proof when it comes to making decisions. And we joked to people that in today's day and age, we don't even go to our new restaurant without looking at like 10 different photos, let alone buying anything online.
No, you're absolutely right. My wife and I do exactly the same thing. Before we kind of decide to go to a new restaurant, we go and take a look at the photos of other people and the food they've had. So we kind of make decisions on what we're going to have.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not just applicable to the Yelp and food industry. It's not just applicable to travel, but it's incredibly important for areas like beauty, apparel, health and fitness, or any kind of new products that have different kind of applications associated with them, like electronics.
So you deal with a lot of Shopify brands, no doubt. I can tell by going to the website. I see there's listings of quite a few. Can you talk about maybe some brands that are maybe doing an above average job of, I guess, this community building marketing that you call it community driven marketing. But can you talk about what they're doing, and can you maybe showcase a few brands that you feel are making a difference?
One would probably be Morphe Brushes, but Morphe Brushes does a really great job in the beauty and cosmetic space to highlight their community and leveraging that community to drive commerce opportunities. And part of that is because in the beauty space, showcasing that creativity from the customer base, but also the diversity of the customer base, really allows them to attract multiple types of customers, because the Morphe marketing team is only so big. Right? And even if they're producing tons of content every day, they can only produce a finite amount of content. And by making customers feel like they're part of that community and part of building that brand and celebrating them, it encourages customers to share more. So when you go to the Morphe website, you'll notice that they use user-generated content not only to help increase conversion, but also to help with product discovery as well. So if they have a new product, they will just show photos of real customers using the product. And that obviously helps with the product discovery component of Pixly.
It's fantastic. I actually just surfed over to their site. It's been a while since I've been there, and I can see it. I can see definitely the diversity and the creativity, because, you know, especially in this space, it's such an interesting beauty market where people are going to do their makeup in a different way, and you want to see all these different ways of doing it. And they're showing a different range of different types of models and live people that are actually using the product.
Exactly.
It's quite inspiring, actually, for the target audience to be able to see people actually using, I use this particular product and here's the final result. That's like very powerful.
One thing I would add as well is this content lives in multiple parts of the website. So it's on their homepage, it's on a specific customer gallery, it's on the category pages, it's on the product detail pages. And the way that most brands think about this, it increases sales because of two things. One is it makes your existing shopping experience better using social proof to increase conversion. But the second is it creates a new way to buy and to visually inspire. And I think that latter point, I think, is sometimes underestimated, which is like if people know exactly what they want to buy on your website, then obviously seeing Pixly and user-generated content on PDPs is really helpful. Mm-hmm. But if they're more casually browsing, or if they're a new customer and they're trying to better understand what it is that you sell and the type of customers that you are trying to attract, then seeing photos of these customers using the product is probably one of the top three things you can do.
Yeah, I would agree. So what about the legal requirements? Because I think that's, it's a topic that comes up too. It's like, who owns the photo, and does Pixly have permission or a process? Someone who's using the site and uploading a photo or video to the site, who always worried about DMCA notifications and copyright infringements and things. So how do you work your way around that and navigate around that potential landmine?
100%. So, stealing customer photos is not a really good business model for anybody, and not good for Pixly, it's not good for our customers, et cetera. And one of the key parts of our platform is helping them facilitate the permission rights associated with using these photos. And there's the legality of it. And there's also the fact that these are some of your most passionate customers. You want to be as transparent as possible whenever possible. So with Pixly, we provide a lot of the infrastructure to help you get permission rights to use this content, to store it, and to obviously handle any DMCA takedown requests as well. Not only do we provide this infrastructure, we also provide a very scalable solution. So we've had people get permission rights in about, 40 different countries and across many different platforms.
So this is all managed from within the platform itself. So this is like fully at scale now. When people start getting lots and lots of content, these are kind of like automated processes and systems that are in place.
Exactly. So to give you a sense of scale, one in every four Americans sees Pixly's content, and we have more photos in our system than Getty Images, with over 3 million photo tags in it. We very much have developed a lot of process and technology around doing this, because obviously I'm not doing this by hand, nor is our customer.
Yeah, I'm going to say, quite a large customer service or account management team taking care in hand figuring out the systems. That's I don't think that's possible. But it's great to see you have a process in place now legally, because I think that's the key. I've had enough DMCA takedown notices and stuff. But you're right, passionate customers for sure are going to be more than happy to kind of see their face on the website, the whole 15 minutes of fame kind of thing. It's neat to see something up there. And is there any kind of incentives that you offer people to want to or motivate them to leave reviews?
A lot of different, there's a lot of different incentives, and it really based off of the brand, because each brand is very unique in their relationship with their customers, and we just want to enable whatever incentives they want. We have some brands who integrate with their loyalty programs, where people who submit content will get points in their loyalty programs. We have some brands who will provide different discounts, and we integrate with those systems as well. But then a lot of it is just being featured on the website. And as the key is, you want to always receive attribution, right, as a consumer and credit. And we provide the system to do that as well.
So let's talk about maybe some of the more technical parts of Pixly and how it integrates with Shopify, like specifically, I guess, from a data standpoint, or you mentioned the word tagging and stuff. Are you able to kind of share some of the, for those technical people that are listening today, kind of what Pixly actually does for Shopify store owners?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're in the Shopify App Store, and there's a few components and I would call challenges when it comes to using user-generated content. One is obviously the scale, and how do you deal with the hundreds of photos or hundreds of customer stories that you're getting? The second is, how do you now make that content shoppable? And the third we already touched upon, which is how do you get permission rights to use that content? So within the technical components of the Pixly platform, we ingest all of the product SKUs, and with the push of a button, you can get this content across multiple parts of your website. And within the Pixly platform, we allow you to completely customize the style and look and the feel, and also the logic associated with how you want it to display the content. Especially if you have a store in multiple different countries and you want to show French, language photos to people who are visiting in France versus the UK versus the US, etc. And one of the key components with our integration is we integrate with your shopping carts. So we understand which photos are actually leading to sales. And as a result of that, one, you are able to use that data to better understand what photos are working for you. And then two, we're automatically optimizing that content using machine learning so that this gets better with time.
It's very interesting. So what about fashion brands that maybe have seasonal products? Well, I guess the AI is still working in real time as far as sales are concerned. But then when the seasonality ends for a certain, I guess spring is around the corner. So a lot of fashion brands are starting to ramp up that collection and they're moving out on their winter wear. How does Pixly navigate that kind of transition?
Great question. So in addition to just some of the core technology we talked about, we've also spent the last 2 years developing proprietary deep learning technology to help brands automatically tag different products that are in the content. So in the process of just making that content shoppable with using the Pixly deep learning technology, it's about 50% less time. Now, let's just say the product is out of stock or it's no longer available on the website, we can automatically take that down for you so that you're not sending people to product pages that don't exist. So we've built a lot of this kind of logic into our system already. And part of it has to do with the fact that we've been doing this for a while and because we've done this across many different brands now.
I'm going to do a slight pivot, but it's similar to what we were talking about. We're talking about the way we can incentivize people to want to leave reviews. And it really depends on the brand, if it's, if it's like loyalty or if it's discounts and whatnot. There's a few different, I guess, tactics to kind of want people to have these passionate people leave these pictures and stuff. What about influencers, people that have a lot more social clout behind them and are maybe potentially are looking at this as a business for themselves, either through an affiliate program or they're building their personal brand by things that they are passionately involved in and enjoy. I'm sure there's got to be influencers on Morphe brushes that for a living, they review and enjoy some really great product and are producing some really great content for these brands kind of in exchange for, I'm not sure. So I just would throw it back to you. So how do influencers kind of fit into the user generated content space now?
That's a great question, Steve, and it's a question that we get asked all the time. And the framework that I tell brands to think about is, if a brand's message is not just coming from the brand, where are the opportunities? Now, obviously, on one end of the spectrum, you have the famous influencers, maybe the borderline celebrities. In between, you might have some of the micro influencers. And at the end of the spectrum, you might have the everyday people. And it's really a spectrum, right, of this content. Because, again, it's about that influencer or that customer telling your story in a way that perhaps you might not have even thought about yourself. So within the Pixly platform, we provide the technology to help brands also discover influencers, to measure the effectiveness of the various influencers, and also connect that influencer content to commerce opportunities on their website. We do those three things for our customers who are looking to do things with influencer marketing.
So there's like some kind of a discovery engine built into Pixly's platform?
100%. And you can then search for different influencers based off of things like follower count, area of expertise, engagement rate, various different attributes to find influencers that are relevant to your system. So a good way for people to think about our system is we support photos, we support video, like Instagram stories and YouTube. We integrate with your existing ratings and review platforms, and we provide influencer marketing capabilities for you as well. So our whole vision behind our space is we're trying to build that system of record for these customer stories. And if every brand out there has a combination of paid, owned, and earned media, if you think about earned media, traditionally it's been very PR focused, but now that every consumer is like a media company, what do you do for that category? And we're trying to be that system of record for that. And for brands who really are thinking about leveraging their community as a growth lever.
Note about email, I'm hoping the answer is going to be yes, but do you see access to this content? So we got legal abilities to use it, approvals, and we've got these photos and videos and whatnot. And then let's say we want to start some kind of an outreach campaign through an email service provider. Is there a connection for Pixly to do that?
Absolutely. So we integrate with various different ESPs. And the cool thing about this is when it comes to email, everyone's email team needs more content and they need reasons to email the consumers that are not just discounts, right?
And
this kind of goes back to what I said earlier about how do you make existing email opportunities better, but then also how do you create net new shoppable experiences? And sending out our favorite community photos of the week is a recurring email that is a net new experience that's super authentic and timely and valuable. So this content lives with various different emails. There's different types of emails that get sent out with Pixly, like the new product emails, abandoned shopping cart emails, and even just kind of that net new community experience that we talked about.
Mm. Well, that's awesome. That's really great to hear because I think the cost and the time to create a content, I have, you know, a lot of merchants that just, they really are looking at a blank canvas every time they're trying to figure out what their next newsletter is going to be or, you know, any ways if they can kind of, you know, some kind of a re-engagement campaign. They feel a little bit challenged. Whereas it sounds like with Pixly, we have a lot of content available that then almost automated could be pushed out once a week.
100%. And not only automated, but also shoppable as well. Because yeah, maybe you can manually download all the photos and put it into your website and put it on your email, but you also want to make that content shoppable. So if somebody sees the image and likes it, they want to find it. And the second thing here, and this is probably a really cool part of our technology, is we also use machine learning to optimize the email content as well. So let's just say you have 9 images that you're showing in your email. If we find that some of the images are performing better, we're going to show them first.
That makes sense. Above the fold in email.
Yeah. So it's pretty simple. It's content. It's not just a qualitative thing. It can also be a quantitative thing as well. And for the brands, especially with a certain amount of scale, the ability to optimize these customer stories just provides additional ROI. So what we're trying to do is make the lives of our customers as great as possible and to make them a lot more scalable in their work because, you know, anyone who runs digital at any of these brands, regardless of size, they probably have a lot of responsibility on their plate. And for us, if we can use technology to make their lives easier and allow them to do more of the strategic work versus just the manual work, you know, I think everyone wins.
Absolutely. I wrote a note here as you were talking, and I was thinking about, I'm sure Pixly does this, but I want to hear it from you, was that cart abandonment, just abandonment in general, is a major topic. And I tend to recommend a few different solutions, you know, through either browser kind of push notifications or text message remarketing type solution, or I find Facebook Messenger retargeting to be a very powerful way of bringing people back. It's certainly grabs people's attention more than through email. So can you share how maybe some of these other technologies can integrate with user-generated content to bring people back? I've looked at one particular, let's say, shirt, and there's user-generated content on that shirt. Is there a possibility of being able to create a campaign through some of these other connected solutions and showing user-generated content along with maybe the hero shot for the product that I was looking at?
For 100%. And we have a few brands that are already doing that today. Now, the key way to think about it as well is right now, a lot of brands have different ways to reach out to these consumers, whether it's, you know, Shopify and email service providers and different ads, etc. We just provide content across various different channels. And the value of that is we integrate and play nicely with a lot of your existing infrastructure. We don't ask you to rip out anything. We just ask you to put a layer on top of that. But then the second part of that is that content can be consistent now across different channels. So let's just say you have a new image for shirt A that you mentioned. That image will be now updated on the homepage, on the customer gallery, on the category page, on the product detail page, on the email that you send out, and it will also be on the abandoned shopping cart email. And let's just say you want to take down that image because you got a DMCA complaint. That image will now come down from all those different places.
Oh, I see. Also, no matter where it is. So if you've had it through different kind of external campaigns or anywhere from within the website, homepage, product page, landing pages, it is gone.
Exactly.
Wow.
And the idea is it's not just having the content, it's also using that content in the right places. So if you get one piece of content or 10 pieces of content, but you can use those in 100 different places, that's also very scalable. So a lot of the smaller brands you work with are always asking me, Kyle, if I don't have as much content, what can I do? I tell them, one, well, when you use a platform like Pixly and you celebrate your customers will naturally share more. And we've seen this across hundreds of brands. But the second part of that is how do you make the most value out of the content that you do have? And that's a part of where we make it really, really helpful.
Yeah. And what's the scale part, right? It's like this podcast. Will it be transcribed into a text document, like for show notes? Yes, it will be. Will there be like little sound bites? Yes. Will there be some social media kind of cutouts and things for Twitter? And I mean, there are ways. I'm a little more of a manual process, but at the end of the day, the content is here. It's available and it's sliced and diced up, distributed where it needs to be to build that scale out of the one piece of content that was created.
You got it. And that's actually a great analogy, right? And I think the kind of very similar description of that is this content, it's useful for a lot of different people, but not all of it might not be helpful for them, right? So when it comes to these customer stories, you know, some content you might say it's not good for our homepage on our website, but that doesn't mean that it's not helpful for a product detail page or an abandoned shopping cart email. Because even the content on different parts of that customer journey converts differently, right? So with Pixly, not only do we do that, but we also understand what content is working well across different parts of that customer journey, whether it's engagement, like on top of the funnel, or whether it's conversion on the bottom of the funnel.
I'm going to talk about acquisition in a second, but it made me think about analytics. And so I assume Pixly plays nice with analytics, or do you have your kind of own kind of A/B testing or analytics tools? I know you guys talk about machine learning and deep learning. Can you give us a little bit of insight as to kind of how people are making kind of data-driven decisions based on the platform and the content that is being produced?
We believe that the future of marketing is also very data-driven. So what we needed to do, and to give you some context for this, when we first started the company, people understood the anecdotal value of customer stories, but they needed the ability to show the quantitative value to their bosses because they believed in it, but they needed to prove to other people on their team that this was valuable. So as a result, we provided a lot of capability to prove out the ROI of user-generated content and its impact on increasing sales, decreasing costs, and obviously long lifetime value of customers. Now, with that said, we also fully acknowledge that we are not the only system that these brands are working with. And the better we play nicely with the existing systems that they have, you know, the more effective, you know, we're going to be, but also the more value we're going to provide as well. So, you know, we have no problem integrating with various different systems like the Google Analytics, et cetera, but we also do a lot of the A/B testing and we do a lot of the analytics ourselves because at the end of the day, people want to showcase the ROI that they're driving. And a platform like Pixly, you know, drives a lot of ROI.
So let's jump into the acquisition side because we've mostly been digging into, I think, more conversion strategies, you know, converting more visitors into customers and the kind of the retention strategies that can go along with this user-generated content. But kind of top of funnel awareness and consideration phase, meaning driving net new visitors to the website. Can you share how Pixly can integrate with that content? How can we, you know, is there social ads or kind of, is there any kind of like content that can be created to drive net new visitors to the site?
Absolutely. And I'll talk about four key areas. One is on the natural awareness. Second will be on the blog and SEO. Third would be on influencers. And the fourth would be on social ads. And I can spend a decent amount of time. I'll give you the quick summary and then we can dive deeper on each one. On the natural awareness side, like I mentioned before, if you've just featured customers on your website, people are going to share more and you getting natural word of mouth marketing, it's going to be great for your brand. And that encourages people to share more and it drives more people to understand your product, all that kind of great stuff, pretty self-explanatory. The second on the blog side is we've seen a lot of brands use this content on their blogs to emphasize SEO. So the idea is that this content is, it helps make your blog content creation much more scalable, but it also allows you to kind of attach into different keywords and styles and all that kind of great stuff. So we found it to be very helpful in blogs when it comes to driving more SEO. The third is on the influencer strategy. This is pretty well known in the industry now, pretty mature, but obviously the working with influencers allows you to drive more traffic and awareness for your brand. We not only help you with the large influencers, but also better discovering a lot of the micro influencers that are maybe a little more cost effective for your brand. And last but not least, we also do integrate with different social ads, and we also work well on the landing pages for those ads as well. So it kind of decreases cost per acquisition and ROAS by not only improving the click-through rate, but also improving that end conversion rate as well.
Yeah, I could see that. And I think that's, you know, the key that I have with a lot of merchants is they do, some have a lot of traffic and they're trying to improve their conversion rate. So I can see the benefits of social proof and having this kind of content in the key place where it needs to be, along with cart recovery and all that. So crystal clear of kind of what you've shared with that. With social ads on the top of funnel and creating, driving us into these net new visitors. So is there a process or have you seen brands use this content that is now available from within Pixly? What typically would the workflow be from, hey, these particular range of products are selling really, really well to this target audience? And like, how do we go out and then create these social ads? Are we connecting to other platforms? Is it, you know, are we just walking into or going into Facebook Ads Manager and doing it? Or are there third-party kind of connections that can really help at scale driving, you know, the social ad creation?
We do integrate with various different third-party connectors, but I'm probably assuming a lot of the people listening to this podcast are probably spending a considerable amount of money on Facebook. So I'll probably focus our efforts for this podcast there. We do connect with Facebook and the Facebook Ad Manager. So when you need creative for your Facebook ads, Pixly and user-generated content is a good source of that. Now, it's particularly a good source when you want to take into account two different things. One is the timeliness of the content, and the second is just the diversity and customer segmentation components of it. Timeliness, where it's like, hey, this is Kyle today on Valentine's Day and what he bought today, right? And or this is Kyle who is skiing on the, you know, who's skiing today because it just snowed today versus the generic stock image.
Right, I get it.
Another way is when you have customer segmentation, like, oh, I'm going after male tech founders in San Francisco. Well, one of the best ways to do that is to show them pictures of other male tech founders in San Francisco. And being able to do that across multiple different customer segments, I believe is more effective than just the generic one size fit all. The last thing I'll say is when you actually look at the content and you look at the customer stories, a lot of times it also inspires the brands about different types of customer segments that they perhaps didn't even realize. And this has happened across multiple different brands. And I'm not sure if I have the authority to mention this, but the idea is that when you just see the people who are posting about your brand and you see how they're using it, it definitely inspires you to attract a different type of customer base. Mm.
That's, I think, the last piece of the puzzle. I mean, I think we've, you know, really have shared the benefits of it, and the ROI that goes along with having this sort of content is just that some people listening to the show today maybe are requiring to drive more traffic to their site. And based on that, you know, being able to use this content towards that through Facebook, the timeliness, I think, is just phenomenal. Talking about being at the right place at the right time with the kind of the right product or the right content. Talk about this multiple touch points for people to make a decision to actually buy. And quite interesting that we have these sort of connections to it. And then marketing and people that are involved in the social ad creation and getting these campaigns together, they've got almost a wealth of content available at their disposal to be able to be creative enough to create these sorts of timely strategies, you know, for these brands.
100%. And the one thing we haven't really touched upon as well is how this also lives in store. Just because I know a lot of different brands now are having a pop-up strategy or maybe have one or two couple stores out there. This content also lives well in stores as well. And the way that you should be thinking about user-generated content is not just about putting Instagram photos in your website. It's really about how do you touch users' content across anywhere you see a photo, whether it's online, whether it's offline, you know, whether it's print, wherever. These photos are used in a lot of different places. And I think that we're only at the tip of the iceberg when it comes to possibilities in this space.
Well, this is great information. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Can you let us know where people can learn more about Pixlee?
We have a website, pixlee.com, P-I-X-L-E-E.com. You can find us across various different social media platforms. You can also find us in the App Store as well for Shopify and Shopify Plus. And we've had a lot of experience working with different Shopify partners, and it's very easy to get set up and started.
Beautiful. I'll make sure I update the show notes with like all the links, and I have a list of approved sites that like to share the fact that they're using your solution. There's a lot of regular Shopify core merchants, lots of Shopify Plus merchants that have kind of vetted the solution, have made a decision to use Pixlee. So for those, depending on your journey right now, the size of your brand, maturity-wise, Pixlee and user-generated content is something that's on your radar. I just highly recommend you at least go check them out at pixlee.com and have a look at what they're up to. They have a lot of case studies and some great information on there. And, you know, it's an ever-evolving industry. It's great that you've positioned yourself as really doubling down in this particular field. Thank you so much again, Kyle, for coming on the show.
You got it. Thanks for your time, Steve.
This episode was brought to you by Omnisend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Facebook and Google, all from one platform. Try Omnisend for free for 14 days. Check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/Omnisend, and use the coupon code FASTLANE when you sign up. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.